to another episode of the Blue Toon Podcast, your weekly unofficial podcast dedicated to all things Peterhead FC. This week we'll be looking back at the doubleheader against East Fife, preview the upcoming visit of Clyde, and we'll hear from manager Jim McAnally and midfielder Andy McCarthy. I'm Colin Byers, and I'm very pleased to say, under usual circumstances, I think, Martin Smith is with me, but in the same room for the first time since about February last year.
Yeah, I think it would be around about February 2020 would have been our last.
It was the last time we recorded an episode in the same room, so this is going to be slightly unusual. No Zoom, so we can't blame the technical issues if one goes wrong. Otherwise, how are things?
Yeah, not too bad, thanks. Yourself?
Sweating. I'm absolutely baking. Unseasonable weather again. Right, lots to go through. Lots to kind of discuss, not maybe any positives, or we'll find positives hopefully, but as I said, lots to kind of to go through. Last week, or 2 weeks ago I should say now, we spoke about the doubleheader against East Fife and how we thought that at least one win, I think we said, was what we needed. We've ended up losing both, no goals, four conceded, overall it's disappointing.
I think disappointing is putting it mildly. We spoke quite positively, if you remember, way back now when we beat Alloa, and we're quite positive of the season. I said a couple of weeks ago it was time to panic as well. I certainly think now alarm bells should now be ringing. Whilst maybe not the performances have been poor, we're lack of finishing, lacking maybe creating good chances, like a lot of half chances in games, but overall we're now at that point where we're shipping goals and we did not look likely to score many. And as we came in, footbacks a recipe for disaster. So I'm not pushing the panic button just now, but it was good, as I'm sure we'll touch on later on. It was good to see Jim in the press today thinking that recruits is needed, and I think every Peterhead supporter will welcome that at the moment.
Yeah, I was speaking to somebody on Saturday after the game. It was a case of that they were kind of confused as to how we've gone for such good performances against Cove in the Cup, beating them 3-1, and then the Alloa game, where we seem to be so high, so attack minded, the pressing was good, and all of a sudden we seem to, in the last kind of 2 or 3 weeks, just sort of going back on what we were doing maybe last season and the season before. It seems to be now we're playing within ourselves rather than just having that openness again.
I think we've touched on it through commentary as well, that a lot of the players just now seem to be taking that extra touch. We've seen wide men with Mulligan or Conroy screaming for the ball, and it doesn't sound like much, but that extra touch in midfield allows, you know, the opposition to get their shape back or get a defender out or a midfielder out. And it's just that lot of things when you've got the confidence, you're playing the one-touch football, you're knocking it around well, and when things aren't going your way, you're almost looking for that 5-yard safe pass rather than that 30-yard pass that could allow somebody to get in and attack. And at the moment, as you said, we're really good against Alloa, look good, Cove, even Hearts, I think, back as well in July in the Cup. But just knew there just seemed to be that. It's almost that reluctancy to go forward and try and attack well because we're scared of conceding in the back. And that happened, you know, we go back 18 months ago before the pandemic kicked in. We did look like a team that struggled to score and concede a lot. A lot has changed in that time, but the route seems to still be there where we're conceding and the silly mistakes are starting to creep in again.
Yeah, and I think a lot of the silly mistakes, I guess, would have been summed up in the first game, down in East Fife, 3-0 loss. I mean, for large parts of the first half, we looked good. Created a few half chances, more than anything else. Yes, we hit the bar twice and hit the post with a fantastic save from Gallagher from Nia Payne's shot, tipped it onto the post. But it was sort of that was kind of much and such as that as went. No real sort of clear cut chances, if you like.
Yeah. I heard Jim's post-match comments after that one as well. He thought it was the best they'd played for a long time. And I'm not going to sit here and tell Jim that he's wrong. But yeah, it was maybe a good footbar. But at the end of the day, we still got beat 3-0. You get nothing for it. So I know he's trying to look at positives and you don't want to criticise the players. They're young guys. It's a team that's trying to gel. But sometimes the harsh reality is that we weren't good enough. And yes, you go on, we hit the bar, we hit the post, but we've got zero goals, and if that's the best we've played and scored zero, then to me there's a problem somewhere and it needs to be identified.
Yeah, and the goals that we've conceded, I mean, the first one, the keeper, he goes absolutely AWOL, goes chasing after a ball he doesn't really need to, Brett Long. And so there's an empty net. Penalty is conceded. Scratch my head as to what Jason Brown was thinking. He just sort of dallied on it, and then before he knew it, the striker was by him, and he's nudged him. It's a well penalty all day long. And then by the time the third goal comes, the game's pretty much over. So again, it's those silly mistakes that we keep saying, but those are silly mistakes that the more times it becomes silly, it becomes almost commonplace.
It becomes a habit.
Yes.
It's a bad habit. Brett Long, I think, would probably be up there with my top three players that I think actually started well this season. And you think when your good players are having rash moments like that, you start to think, well, they're trying to encourage the team, but they're trying to do it in the wrong way. You'd have been better just staying in his goals rather than trying to run out and deal with it. And as you said, Jason Brown, I think he's come on leaps and bounds this last 2 years as a defender, but there's just that little silly things, whether it be getting involved in things that he doesn't need to, or decision making. Just these little things that we need to iron out. But as you said, once it becomes a regular occurrence, as players, you then start to worry that, right, my defender might have an off game, or my goalkeeper might do something, and you start to go into that shell. And rather than being the free-flowing attacking that I thought we were towards the end of last season, and with the recruitments that we got in the summer, I thought that the philosophy was changing as well. But it just seems that the last five games, we've really hit a brick wall. And it's something we look to change really quickly.
You look at his selection as well. He had Naya Payne, he had Russell McLean. But for some reason, he changed the tactics and he had Naya Payne playing off the left. Having almost gotten to a stage where the two of them, McLean and Payne, have created themselves a partnership, it was strange to then break them up and have them separate. Again, it looks as though it was a game where it was a case of, like, let's try and keep in it as long as possible, and they lose it too early, which is a sign, I think, that you're in a rut.
To me, it sort of seems like you're setting your stall out to not lose the game rather than trying to win it from the start. It's almost like that negativity thing. You'd rather play cautious rather than going attacking, in a sense. And again, it all comes down to mindset. But once you get into a rut, it's very difficult to get out of it. And you just need that something to trigger that spark, or a creative player to do something in a game that can change your fortune. But I hate to say, at the moment, I'm struggling to see if that's got a comfy. Normally, you'd look at players like Lyle Cameron, Hamish Ritchie. I was actually quite pleased to see Hamish was dropped on Saturday, because his performances, going by the standard that he's set, have been well below par. And you're looking for these guys as attacking the creative players to bring the team on. And at the moment, it's not looking good. I know we're about 10 minutes in and it's negative. But sometimes you look at it, we praise the performance when it's really good, but we're now in a situation where we have gone five games without a defeat. There is, on social media, criticism coming towards the management, for the players, and sometimes they just need to take stock and think, like, what have we done? What has changed in the last couple of weeks? Because for the outside looking in, at the moment, it just doesn't seem a happy camp. And whether that comes to the players that need to gee themselves, Jim can only do so much when he picks a team. It's up to the players to go out and make themselves counted when they go in the park.
You look at his stats after the game, in that one, East Fife had three shots on goal, scored three goals, whereas we had 10 shots and four on target. And that's kind of the difference. I know the old Scovdall thing about stats, but I mean, it's there in black and white. Three shots, three goals, and they've won the game 3-0.
Yeah, I mean, you can count yourself a little unlucky they've had three shots, but then when you delve deeper into it, the quality of our chances compared to the quality of their chances, you can understand why we lost the game. I know Jim said, as I said earlier on, that it was the best we played in a long time in the first half, but go back, like, we've still got 0 goals and 0 points out of the game. And at the end of the day, you'd rather finish in seventh place with 35, 40 points playing poor rather than finish bottom of the league and say, ah, but we played well against East Fife in August.
Yeah, I think it was me asking the question, and I think a lot of us were taken aback by his response, particularly I don't think he was being defensive, but I just think he was surprised that people thought they were so poor. And I think everybody in the stand, especially around where we were, thought this was poor. And I think I wasn't trying to get a reaction from him. It was just a case of, well, just like, particularly second half, it was poor. You know, conceded three goals, and yeah, his reaction was kind of like, no, we played quite well, which surprised us, surprised me. It kind of was a little bit awkward for a few minutes, but I think I know he's trying to defend these players. But there has to come to a point where he just has to say, look, it's not good enough.
I was surprised by his reaction. You know, it's a manager kind of come out and expect to get an easy ride every time. As I said, it's five defeats on the bounce. I think it was four on that occasion you interviewed him. So, you know, I'm not saying Jim's under pressure, but, you know, the club can't afford to go back down to League Two. We can't have the problems and financial issues in Scottish football. It's important. I mean, the bookies have tipped us to be bottom of the table. They maybe count something we didn't have 6 weeks ago. We were quite buoyant that we'd stay up. But, yeah, something needs to change. I'm not saying it's a manager, but something needs to change over the next couple of weeks to try and get that confidence back.
Yeah, we'll come on to that in just a few minutes. But the home game again, a lot of changes for both sides. We were always expecting a lot of changes. Obviously, the Dundee 3 were cup-tied. That's another issue that could be another 20-minute rant. We knew there were going to be these six changes. You mentioned Hamish Ritchie was one. It was dropped. Brett Long was dropped. We knew Lenny Wilson might come in for him. Good to see Jordan Brown getting a start again as well, which I think we were, in the last kind of few weeks, we're kind of champing for. We wanted him to get a start because I think he's deserved it, especially with his performances coming off the bench. So there was the kind of changes there as well. But quite early on, it was obvious that, again, it was a case of the guys that were playing were so anxious that they didn't want to make a mistake, that they were taking the safe options too often. They were taking extra touches when it wasn't needed. And as a result, you know, we went down 1-0 quite early on, 10 minutes again, another calamitous goal, which we'll come on to. But from then on, for the rest of the game, you didn't feel as though that chance was coming.
Yeah, it seems to me when we go a goal down or even two, I find it difficult to see where that goal's going to come from. And as much as I've given Jim a wee bit of stick, the players have got to take responsibility as well. You know, there's experienced guys in the park. Jordan Brown, Jason, Ryan Conroy, Scott Brown, these are experienced guys, played at this level for a long time. They've got to take responsibility and think, right, okay, we need to move the ball around quicker, we need to try and make something happen, because evidently it's not working, and we maybe need to go and try and change it. Struggled, and as I say, we're struggling for goals, but the players need to take responsibility and try and change it.
Yeah, the winner, as I said, was a bit calamitous. You know, Lenny Wilson's come out for a ball again. No need to come out. Mishanu's there. He's got it covered. He's probably going to stop the cross, but as soon as the keeper comes out, I can't remember for the East Fife player it was, but he's able just to hook it towards the goal. And even then, Andy McDonald should be able to deal with it. He's done the cardinal, the schoolboy error of letting it bounce inside your ear. Just deal with it. Go ahead it.
And again, that's a sign of a lack of confidence. Rather than meeting the ball and dealing with it, he's trying to let it bounce and then try and maybe take a more confident touch of the bar, expecting somebody to be there to help him out. Just that little things, but from the little things will mount up. And East Fife they probably smelt blood as soon as they got the first goal. They would then go and, you know, they couldn't put a reason at a poor run, bad confidence as well. And they'll exploit that. But as you said, Andy, again, a player that I think's come on leaps and bounds this last couple of years. He's done well, but it's just a lot of decision making like that, and as you said, he's sort of sleeping schoolboy error and we've been punished for it.
But and Donny Denham might be scratching his head at half time thinking, why hasn't he now got a hat-trick? Because he could have quite easily had a hat-trick. You know, he's hit the post, he's had a couple of other efforts as well, again they would have been well within the right to be 2 or 3 up.
Yeah, with a game by Airdrie, we were lucky still to be in the game. You know, we went in at half time 1-0 and we thought Airdrie will feel hard done by. They were in a 3-4-0 up at that point, and obviously then it ended 3-2, but I think Airdrie can feel hard done by. We did get 2 in the game, and again East Fife are probably a point half time then I go in. And again that tells you something as well, you know, inside as well. We're now discussing saying other teams are disappointed they're not there in front. Again, it comes down to confidence. I think there is something there, but the next couple of weeks has got to be pivotal, because as soon as you start losing a gap at the bottom of the table, it becomes a massive uphill task.
And the one glaring chance we had in the first half has fallen to a man who is yet to score in his career, and it shows. Andy McCarthy from, what, about 6-8 yards out, open goal. And it really was an open goal because the keeper's lying flat on his back, you know, 6-7 yards to his left. and just snatches at it and blazes it 10 feet over the bar.
It's one of them player, things. If you could pick any player for a native fatty, with respect, Andy's probably one of them.
Aye.
You're looking for somebody with a wee bit more composure, just put it away a bit on this occasion.
There's actually four men in the box, including McCarthy. One of them's Jordan Brown, one of them's Scott Brown, and one of them's Derek Lyle. Falls to any of those three, it's 1-1, and then you go into half time at 1-1, and you've got your goal, and it's a different game. But because it's fallen to Andrew McCarthy, he snaps that and he's blazed it over.
I guess it just sort of sums up we're lucky at the moment. It could have fallen to any player in the park, and as you said, it's fallen to somebody that hasn't got a goal for us. So yeah, it's small margins, but you know, you've got to try and every negative you've got to try and turn it into a positive. There was a chance there. If it fallen to somebody else, you maybe get a goal for it, but yeah, wasn't to be on that occasion.
And as I said, kind of touched on earlier on, second half, it was kind of huffed and puffed more than anything else. I mean, off the top of my head, I think of only sort of clear-cut chances. You know, Scott Brown had a shot or a cross on the left-hand side, the keeper kind of palmed it. But other than that, there was nothing really else. East Fife, to their credit, they defended well, they got a good shape. And made it difficult, and quite right.
Yeah, it's what you'd expect. They were in control of the game, they were winning. They don't need to open themselves up, but that's when we need our creative players to step up and try and make something happen. It's not just going to happen for us. You need to try and go and make it. You need to move the ball around quicker. You need to move your positions a wee bit. It's kind of just be as rigid as being, I'm on the left. You've got to come in and make things happen. And it's just, for some reason, something's just not clicking. Can't put my finger on it. Considering I think we've got a good squad, it maybe does need a few additions, but I'm sure Jim and Davey are working on it.
East Fife have only won three games all season. The first league game was against Peterhead. That was our first win in the league. They've won twice now in the Best PFL Trust Trophy. So two out of their three victories have been against Peterhead. And not to be disrespectful to East Fife, but I don't think East Fife were much better than Peterhead were. They were just, I think, better organised, and they've taken their chances when they've come along.
Yeah, I think they've got massive confidence for beating us 3-0, and they've used that as a platform to go and build, which is what I'm hoping we're going to do over the next couple of weeks. Get a positive result and use that as a platform. I thought Alloa, the opening day of the season, was going to be our platform to really kick on and start the season well. We did seem to start the season off well for some reason, but this has been a poor start. It's 1-5. I think we mentioned that a couple of weeks ago, where, you know, if you got three wins, you know, if when you're playing game four, if you had two wins and two defeats, it's not as bad. Mm-hmm. It looks a lot better, but no, we really are stuck in a bit of a rut. But it needs to change.
Yeah, so we'll just remind you of Jim's post match thoughts after the home game on Saturday.
Okay, Jim, another defeat. How do you sum that one up?
Well, that was poor, especially for staff. Just guys with a real dearth of confidence, and I'm glad we played, if you know what I mean, after last week. You know, like, if we didn't play till the next game, probably wouldn't have seen just how short in confidence that we are, some of the mistakes that we're making. Just, you know, unacceptable mistakes. Other teams only haven't they, you know, do too much to score a goal. They're basically relying on their mistakes. I mean, I think there's about three mistakes for the goal, you know, whether it be, you know, the defender should deal with it better, Lenny should stay in his goal, Andy McDonald should not lose the header. So they're just, you know, they're feeling a wee bit sorry for themselves. Second half, we huffed and we puffed. The goalie's not really the save to make. Just looked there in two games against them, we've had 18 corners. I don't think we've had a header for a corner when we've had some big boys, you know. I think probably Jordan's, when he was running the back post, when he should have headed it back across the goal, was maybe the only time we get a free header. So that tells a story in itself. That's a lot of corners to have in two games. There's nothing up with our attitude, but there's a wee, you know, there's a wee bit of hiding going on as far as, you know, not helping your teammate out when I'm in trouble. And I think, you know, the good thing for me today is with this playing, I can see, you know, that we need to get back to basics as far as maybe need to be less attack minded, you know, until we get the corner turned, and you know, maybe just be a wee bit careful. Whilst we're weak at the back, we might need to protect him with midfield players that are going to do that. And you know, the galling thing is that a 40-year-old the day was he showed a great attitude, never stopped, played with enthusiasm, tried to play at a decent tempo. And you know, as we just said to them in there, I know that they're you know, they're no trying, but you know, they just need to stand up and be counted. And I mean, they don't even play with any criticism here. You know, we've got great supporters, been in a lot of clubs where they could get near back, and you know, the boys didn't get that here. They get good support, and so that's not an excuse, you know, where they need to worry about people getting on their backs. So, listen, we just need to keep encouraging them. We need to try and stop shipping goals. As I said to them today, David Goodwillie was playing out the other day, they scored 4 or 5, and that's what we're up against next week. So at least it gives you a wee chance to prepare for them.
Is it a case that because maybe confidence is so low that there's a fear that they don't want to make the mistake, and therefore they're kind of a bit played within themselves slightly?
And a lack of composure, yeah. You know, because they don't want to make a mistake. They just, you know, they opt out rather than try to do the right thing, you know. So it's just, look, they just need to keep at it. They'll need to just be braver. You know, next week we might have 3 or 4 changes to the team anyway, or 5 changes to the team. But again, apart from last week where I could get him, I know you disagreed with me, but I went home reasonably happy because, I mean, you've seen the difference in that game today, especially the first half to last week where we were so dominant. And then, you know, the day it's kind of a reverse, especially the first half anyway, because they were, you know, not miles better than us, like we were with them, but they were still, you know, they had a wee edge, still a wee bit of confidence that we sadly lacked.
I mean, if you're being played off the park every game in the last 3 or 4 games, and obviously we've been battered, but obviously you did maybe question things, but because there are periods of the game where you are playing well, especially the second half of the day, you create a lot of chances, but maybe weren't falling to the right folk, or maybe just composure, as you said in the last start. There is just that element of just again bringing their confidence back up again.
Of course, that's why, you know, we need to just keep encouraging them and try and identify the guys that are feeling it more than other guys. And I mean, what I said to them in there is, if they weren't capable, we wouldn't ask. But they've showed too many times what they can do, especially the defenders. I know, you know, as you know, they've defended well in games against Hearts, Inverness, Alloa, Cove Rangers. So you don't just become bad. So if they hadn't shown set these standards, then you know, you've no right to look for them. But when they have shown these standards, then you've got every right to look for them. So we'll just encourage them, and you know, as I said, I'm glad we played today, and you know, it was a cup tie, which let's, at the end of the day, let's not kid ourselves, it's been turned into a farcical cup anyway, with teams like Dunfermline and Apple and out again this week, you know. So but it's, we still wanted to win, and you know, disappointed we didn't, but we'll get back to the business next week.
Jim, I guess he's trying to be as honest as he can, but he talks about the standards again. The players have set a standard, and they're achieving those standards, and that's what you were kind of saying earlier on as well.
Yeah, as Jim said in his post-match there, he wouldn't ask them to de-sign if they weren't capable of doing it. And that's probably makes it more frustrating, that it's the little things, the decision making that's costing them, rather than actually being poor performances individually. It's that little decision making that, as a manager, you cannot alter for a player's got to ultimately decide on the park. As I said, Jim can only say much, and it's up to the players to take more responsibility. As you said earlier, Andy McCarthy there letting the ball bounce. with respect to Andy, that's something you're taught at primary school. You didn't let the ball bounce in your own box. Go and meet it and clear it. So it's a lot of things like that. He is quite open. I think he was more open and more honest in that even than he maybe was the week before. No. Which is good to see. I can he's saying that fans, when I give him stick, there's only so much as a paying punter will put up with. But again, you try and turn it into a positive. We've got a couple of games coming up that you're trying to get points on the board after the international break. It's maybe come at a right time in a break or a cup game in between, because, as you said, it has been turning into a bit of a nonsense. We lost three players. It's a cup that I don't think we're going to win anyway. So it's maybe fine that we've had that extra game. But again, we've now got a couple of training sessions in between as well.
And you mentioned there as well about the confidence or their commitment. It's things like that that he needs to try and bring that back up again within them. But the longer that this kind of goes, the more difficult that then becomes. Because as you said, he can only do so much on the training pitch with the players or on the side of the pitch. It's the players themselves on the park. It does the job, and they make the decisions. And if they're low in confidence, they're not going to do these things that they may have done if they were winning games. And yeah. I think that sounds so simple and easy for me to say, but it might just be a case of, like, you know, like if Andy McCarthy had mishit his shot and it goes in, it's a goal.
Yeah.
Nonetheless, it's a goal. It doesn't matter how it goes in, it's a goal. And it's maybe just that kind of little things that if we can get a little break, get a goal off of somebody's backside or running like that, that might just turn things a little bit.
It's that vicious cycle of you're wanting the players to be maybe a wee bit more expressive and take the game to opponents, but because they're lacking that confidence, the ball will go inside or go backwards 10 yards rather than that ambitious ball out wide as we touched on right at the start. The confidence will come, we will get a break somewhere. But you've got to be in the right place at the right time. You've got to anticipate that the defender's got to miss the clearance, and you've got to be ready to try and stick the ball in the back of the net. And as you said, if it comes off somebody's backside, or whether it's a corner, it's an own goal, or you get a lucky break with a free kick and a penalty, we've got to then take full advantage of it. Rather than hoping something's going to happen, we've got to try and make something happen.
Yeah. We spoke to Andy McCarthy after the game, and this is what he had to say.
Andy, disappointing result. How do you sum it up?
As you said, disappointing. I think at the minute it's just not quite going for us, and I think as you can see, it's kind of obviously quite frustrating and kind of raging. We weren't able to score there, but yeah, obviously raging about everything. So now obviously we want to do better than that today, and thought we were poor. So now we need to be better, and we need to find it in the changing room. So that's what we've got, and I believe in the rest of the boys, but it has to be better than what that was today, because that wasn't good enough.
It's fine margins. I mean, they really had one or two chances. That was it. Kind of took it. We had a number of chances, especially the second half. Is that kind of the difference, or is there something else missing, Jake?
No, that's probably right. You probably summed it up quite well there. We had quite a lot of chances. Second half, I had a chance to go to score. I can't believe I missed. But that's just the way it is. We've obviously got to score. But yeah, that's frustrating. It was the way it is. They probably had two or three chances, but then second half, it was all us. And it's just not quite going in for us. And there's things as well defensively, myself and the rest of the team can do better, but obviously it's not quite going for us. But we've got to be better than what we were out there, in my opinion, and that's myself included. I look at myself first before I look at anyone. I don't think I've been as good, but that's what it is, probably try to get that kind of back fit. But it's not what it's just, I need to be better than that, to be honest. That's just the way my standards are. So
I don't know why to bring it up, but you're probably going to get a better chance to get your first goal.
No, I've got to score. But see, even being there, probably I'll get more and more chances. Probably believe myself getting the box more and more. So as much as I miss the chance, and I'm obviously frustrated because I've got to score, but I think I believe myself I have to get more chances, and I will eventually score. I know that myself, so I've got a strong mindset in that case, so it will come, but obviously I've got to take that chance, and it's frustrating because they've probably put the game level again, but that's football, and you've got to keep going. I can't let that get to me, because it is what it is. It's part and parcel.
The good thing is that the second half we were the better team. We created a lot of chances.
The second half we were the better team, but obviously I think we've got to be better than what we were in the first half on all accounts. But second half obviously it's a wee bit better. Probably it was kind of all us, and it was probably just that final bit putting the ball in the net. It's kind of not quite going for us, which is frustrating. But
I'm sure it will change, and I'm sure the boys will work hard. That's all you can do. You can only work your way out of situations like this in football when the trips are kind of down, and that's all you can do is work as hard as you can to get out of it.
A bit of a comedy moment for you, thought you were getting subbed off, did you? And you were sort of halfway around the park.
Obviously, I didn't need to come off. I know I wasn't even, hadn't been feeling great still for a few weeks, so I just thought you'd maybe taken me off, but I don't know, I stayed on anything. Perhaps just me being daft, no like me, so nah, I thought it was coming last, but I was happy to stay on anyway. I'm just trying to play football, so no, that's funny probably for other people, but it was just me being a bit daft.
Yeah, back into centre midfield at the first half, and then there was a switch to right back again. How are you finding the sort of dual role that you're getting so far?
I can swap, obviously. It's been a wee bit different probably than the two, but I can play right back and all, it's something I can do. I'm happy to do that for the team. And obviously, hopefully, it comes to the results and stuff like that. But no, I'm playing both fine. I don't mind playing both, so that's what it is.
I thought good Andy to come and speak to us after the game, because it could have been quite easy for him just to kind of hide it away after missing the error. But again, honest opinion, he said it wasn't good enough, and I think he was probably about right.
Yeah, we mentioned it last, 2 weeks ago, sorry. It's refreshing that players realise standards that they've set out have dipped below it. It's good collectively. Like Ryan Conroy was 2 weeks ago dead at Lyle. It's Andy McCarthy saying it as well. They realise performances have been below par, that they're not being good enough. And the only thing they can do is, you know, stick together and come through it. It is a small squad. The guys see, you know, a fair bit of each other, the games. So they need to sit together and come through it, and the only way they'll come through it is by working together, the management team, the players, and I'm sure they will, and they just need that lucky break from somewhere.
It's just about that kind of a lucky break. I guess we should touch on the maybe slightly controversial subject now. We've looked at the kind of fans' perspectives. Some want Jim gone, some want them to kind of stick around. Before we get your opinion, do you see the validity of both sides of the argument?
Yeah, I get the people that are for, I get the people that are against. That everybody's got their opinions, they're entitled to it, they're paying, whether it be to watch a stream or whether it be to come in person. They've put a lot of money into the club, fans, and at the end of the day, fans are the be-all of a club. You know, they can make it a really hostile place to be, or they can make it a good place to be. And I get the opinion, sometimes a manager can't stay around too long. Sometimes a manager's been there a long time for a reason, and they deserve that chance when it gets through a sticky period to be able to try and change it. But yeah, I get both sides of the argument.
We are, as we're recording this, about a month away from Jim's 10th anniversary of being in charge. 10 years at a club is a fantastic achievement. It would be, I genuinely didn't see that there'd be any reason why Jim would be asked to leave before then. I didn't see him even before the end of this season. I'm not saying that's right and that's wrong. I just think the way the club is structured at the moment, I think he's going to be here for the remainder of this season, regardless of how well it's going to go. And I think we'll see him here beyond his 10 years, whether or not that to maybe look at it in the summertime, I don't know. But for me, anybody that's calling for Jim to go, it's maybe slightly short-sighted. That's my opinion. Which side of the fence are you on?
I can see him being here for the immediate future.
Mm-hmm.
What happens after that, I think, depends on the next 24 days or whatever it is we've got left of the window closing.
Mm-hmm.
I personally think we do need reinforcements. We do need players coming in. And it needs to be players, not just to make up the numbers, but of quality. And I can't, it's difficult to get in Peterhead. You speak about budgets, you speak about money, and you're trying to get players to this part of the world. It is difficult, but I think he'll be here for the immediate future, but there's only so long that I think they'll allow it to go before they think maybe he'll be asked to leave, or it'll be mutual consent. I don't know. I like Jim, I have a lot of time for him, but the club has to come first, and I'm sure Jim would be the first to recognise if he felt he couldn't take the club further or stabilise the direction that they were going, that he'd be the first to admit I'm maybe not ready for this bit. But I can see him being here for the immediate future, but where we go after, say, if we're in this situation come January, February, could be a different conversation.
The fact that Jim's come out today in the Peterhead media side of things and said that they are actively looking for reinforcements would suggest that he's not happy with the way things have gone. I know he's built up a squad of 20-21 players. That's usually the sort of where he goes. That's the kind of amount he goes with. For the fact that he's now saying that we need reinforcements, I think we even said a few weeks ago that we did lack, especially in the defence.
Yeah,
that's a key area. If you look at the actual squad, the actual defender, you know, out and out defenders. We've got Danny Sarkin, we've got Andy McDonald, we've got Jason Brown, we've got Jadel Mushano. That's four. Ryan Conroy is as good as he's been at left back, isn't an out and out left back. We all know that. And I think even if you look at the last maybe two or three games, I think the opposition have kind of seen him as maybe as a weak link. He's 34 now, he's never been renowned for his pace. and that does kind of show in games, so that might be just been an area as well. And I guess as well, we're maybe just missing that experienced head at the back as well. We've had that in previous squads, but we just haven't got it this time.
I think the other factor for me personally is you look at the squad and everybody's fit. You could almost, barring one or two players, predict what the lineup's got to be. And I think there is maybe at times players can feel that. I'm not going to name names, but a player can make a mistake and then go, but I know I'll be playing next week. And that to me is a big problem because it means that the standards that you try and set your 8, 9 out of 10s quickly become 6 and 7. It almost becomes acceptable because the player can't, oh, but I'll be playing next week. There needs to be that. If I'm not playing 8, 9, 10 out of 10 per week, then I'll be sitting on the bench or I might even be told to come to the game and I'll just be with the squad altogether. So a couple of signings coming in might just reinvigorate the squad, it might give them a bit while left, it might bring everybody together again, but also it might just make players realise, right, he's coming in my position, so if I'm not going to be playing well, I'll be with the squad. And I think that's a good thing for the squad, because if they're not playing well, then they should be out.
On the flip side of that is you've got somebody who may be sitting on the bench, who's watching the game going, why am I not getting a chance? Why am I not getting a chance? What fans am I going to chance going to come? If he's making mistakes, and yet I'm still not going to get a chance, for the point of me being here. And again, I'm not going to mention any names, but we've mentioned a couple already that we think we should have had opportunities and maybe did it in the last game, but we know that, as Jim said in his audio there, he's going to make five or six changes again, and you can guarantee that those ones that started are going to be the ones that's going to be back out again, and that can't be good for confidence either.
It must be so difficult being a manager, because you get your team right and you win, you're brilliant. You get it wrong, and we're guilty of it as well. You'll go onto social media and go, ah, such and such should have played brilliant that last 20 minutes. You should have played a hell game. If only it was that simple, you know, everybody would be a manager. It's difficult for Jim, it's difficult for the players, but you're right. If they're sitting on the bench looking at a player making the same mistakes week in, week out, or their performances are poor, as a player sitting on the bench, you've got to be wondering, well, why am I not getting a game? Is there something they can do to adapt their game to slightly help? That's a question for Jim, and see what he says. But there should be some players, I personally think, that are maybe sitting on the bench that are worthy of a start, because other players aren't playing to the standards that they've set themselves previously.
We've obviously been supporters for a long, long time. We've been doing this podcast for 2 years, just over 2 years. I think in this kind of 2 years, this is the first time that there's been a real sort of split amongst the fans.
Yeah.
You usually get the odd one or two that like to have more. I mean, we could win the league and still somebody would, well, we should have won that game 4-0 instead of 3-0. You always get the odd moaner now and again. But I genuinely think that this is a period within the club that there is a genuine split of opinion as to where the management should be going or where the club should be going. And it is, as you said, it's a difficult period. And I think everybody within the club, you know, top to bottom, should try and galvanise one another and try and get through it as quickly as possible.
Yeah, I mean, those that are on the side of the fence or one, Jimmy, whilst I completely get their opinions and their thoughts and the way they're thinking, we've been starved of having fans in the ground for the best part of 16, 17 months. As you said, everybody needs to come together from the top of the club to the bottom. It's a very difficult period that we're going through. Tough games, there's no easy games in this league, but fans coming together, try and show their support, get behind the team, because it literally could just be something that's flicking a switch. We've seen it, we've mentioned it a few times, but Montrose a couple of years ago, they hardly won any of their first seven games. And then they went on this fantastic run of like 10 unbeaten with like 7 or 8 wins. It shows you it can be done. It's difficult to do, but if we are pulling in the right direction, there's those for and those against for him, Jimmy Club. If Abdi pulls in the right direction, same way, there's no reason why we can't try and put a couple of wins together and move up the table.
If you look at the squad, and again, I'm not sort of looking at this through blue tinted glasses or whatever, but if you look at the squad, man for man, if you've got their strongest 11 that are playing at their best, I think is probably as good as any, maybe the top half teams that are there, with the exception maybe some of the Falkirk players, and maybe can because they're full time. But I think genuinely, I think some of those players would easily walk into any of those other teams in that league.
Yeah, to an extent, but I think for them to walk into that team, they need to be consistently playing at 8, 9 out of 10 per week. And at the moment, the levels of the whole squad, I don't think there's anybody stand out particular. At the moment, they're playing about 6 or 7. And sometimes with a team, you can get through by him one or two players in an off day. You've got 11 players in an off day. You want to win any game of football. But it's getting, as we said, it's galvanising the team together. Confidence, it's a thing that you kind of work on in training, really. That'll only come by winning games and doing the right things. You're looking for that lucky break, and we're hoping it's not too far away.
I think the funny thing was that, I mean, it just shows you how things are going. After the Airdrie game, I think it was, we lost 3-2. We're losing 3-0 with 5 minutes to go or something like that. But Brett Long gets man of the match. It kind of shows you, how well he played that game. Conceded 3 goals, but still, and that's how things are going. He's probably one of our standout players. To be honest with you, you'd much rather Nate speak about your goalkeeper. You'd much rather have the other 10 being spoken about and they're speaking about how great your goalkeeper is and keeping you within games. But, as a goalkeeper, you can only do so much. And if he's getting shot after shot after shot after shot kind of thrown at him, even Lenny Wilson as well, if it's a cup game, there's only so much they can do. And you've got to then start looking at the players, the 10 players in front of them and say, well, far's it gone wrong?
I would hate to see how many goals we conceded had Brett Long nae been on the form that he has been. He has been good. There has been one or two players in the last couple of games. Maybe an okay performance, but okay when I win the football game. So there needs to be an improvement, and I'm sure Jim and Davey are working on it in the training pitch.
So let's move on to this Saturday's game then. Clyde at home, usually a tasty affair. A game traditionally in the last few couple of years, I would say that we would probably look forward to in terms of the results have been going our way. However, this could go one of two ways. I think. I mean, we could get absolutely battered in this one, or it's probably one of those games where we'll turn up and play well.
I think it's got to go the way of we're going to turn up. I think a lot's been said on social media last week, 10 days, 2 weeks, whatever it is. And the players will see it. They'll realise there's a bit of unrest. I think it's maybe the right game to hay. It's one of them that we can. It's a winnable game, so there's no excuse for to put in a good performance. And there's just always that little bit at edge, as you said. For some unknown reason, as we've said before, there seems to be that little bit of rivalry. And the players know it, Jim knows it, so I think it'll be the right game to turn up. Clyde's by no means a great team in this division. I'd imagine they're going to be running about the same as us, battling towards the bottom end of the table. I think it could be the right game to play against.
I mean, they're sitting about 6 on 7 points, 2 wins, 1 draw. So it does show you, it's so tight. I mean, after the first 2 games, nobody had maximum points. I mean, that just shows you how tight it is. But you get a couple of wins under your belt, you're going to rocket up the league. obviously rock up the league, but you get yourself back up the league anyway. This, I think, you're almost looking at it as a must win already. I mean, as I said, you didn't want a gap opening up, especially with Clyde, because by the end of the season, I think Clyde and Peterhill will be there thereabouts.
Yeah.
So if we can finish above Clyde, I think we'll do Dean well, and therefore avoid any kind of relegation battle. So this has got to be down as a must win already.
Yeah, so early on in the season, but I would agree with you. I think how we maybe got in something for the East Fife, it maybe wouldn't have been as big, you know, in terms of we have to win the game, but the fact that we lost East Fife 3-0, another team that I think's got to be running about us, you kind of lose them sort of games that you predict teams will be running about you if you're negative. You're not going to beat the bigger teams all the time. So these games are your big games. I think it'll maybe be at the right time. We are on a bad bit of form. There's a little bit of taste to the game. And I'm hoping that there'll be a much better performance and result.
They beat Cove last week at home. They've won both of their two wins have been at home. They've lost every game away from home, I think, as well. We've got Cove next week after that as well, again at home. So Andy McCarthy last week said we need to start making Balmore a place where we win every game, and that's where it needs to start. You know, start winning games at home, and then there's less pressure on their away games.
Yeah,
you didn't have to sort. You could get away with getting a point or two away from here, rather than like we need to go to East Fife or we need to go to Queen's Park and get wins. Whereas like when I miss our home games, we can just rely on we'll get a point here or there. Again, it's less pressure. You start winning at home.
You give yourself, when you go away from home and you go into games, can you have to win? It puts so much pressure on you to try and win the game. Home games are your bread and butter. That's where you're going to, it basically defines your season, whether you're going to stay up or whether you're nay. I did think if the Alloa game, I thought we'd started the season well. A lot of people did. We maybe just got lucky on the day. A couple of things went our way that we're nay getting now. But we need to try and transform it and get a positive result. I mean, I'm not overly fussed, as weird as it sounds, on the performance on Saturday. I think the result is the key thing.
I think we'd much rather not sneak a win, but I think if we won it 1-0 or 2-0 and not play them off the park, I think we would much rather get the 3 points, because at this stage, 3 points is a must. The confidence, and then I'll start building on back of that result, and then you'll see. Then you'll see the play come along with that, much more attacking or whatever you need to be. But yeah, let's just get the 3 points and start getting looking up the table again.
Yeah, because as Jim said, he was thought he played really well against East Fife, but got 0 goals and 0 points. I'd rather play, come off the park, or the guys come off the park on Saturday saying, oh God, we played really poor, but we've won the game 1-0, 2-0, whatever it be. I think the ideal result would be a win and a clean sheet, because I think that would just breed confidence throughout the Hill team. But again, we've been criticising them the defensively we haven't been good. We sometimes concede early goals, performances haven't been good. You're looking for all that to come together on Saturday, and they need to start, because you said Saturday we've got Clyde, then we've got Cove the week after. You're almost looking for a minimum of 4 points.
It's going to be a tough game, as we said. David Goodwill is obviously going to be the man to watch out for. Is it then a game that you try and go with the ones that you know will almost play well against him, i.e. does he stick with Jason Brown and Andy McDonald, or does he change it up completely? And to be honest with you, I think Jadel played well on Saturday. They didn't really do too much wrong. Is it worth just throwing him in and see how he gets on? And just as we said earlier on, it's about letting those who think that they're just going to walk into the team every week, so like, well, we're going to change it up. You haven't performed well, so let's change up a little bit.
Yeah, normally I would say yeah. Stick with Jadel. He didn't do anything wrong. The only thing I would say with that is the experience of David Goodwillie with the inexperience of Jadel. Mm-hmm. That could be something that could really win you or lose you the game. And I think that's a call for Jim to make. This is from his experience and his knowledge of the players and his opposition's got to come into it, because personally I would go with Brown, Jason Brown and McDonald, because you've just got that wee bit more dare I say, confidence in that back two, rather than Hinjadel. It's nothing against him. As we said, he did nothing wrong. But I just think the experience of David Goodwillie as well, walking, he'll hold up the ball. You don't want for somebody to try and win the header, lose it, and then Goodwillie spun you. It's fine margins. I think that'll be the difference on Saturday, how both teams line up.
Yeah, and again, you're looking at the full backs as well. You know, McCarthy's been playing there. Danny Strachan's obviously now going to be available again. Jason Brown played there on Saturday. So there's a few different right backs he's been playing. I think, again, it might be just a case of, well, let's bring in Danny Strachan and play him at right back again, because he is the only natural right back we've got. He's, you know what you're going to get with him. Yes, he's a little bit inexperienced. And that again might just be go against them slightly, and that's why, you know, Andy McCarthy's maybe going to get the nod in front of him. I don't know, but it's just so difficult to kind of predict how things are going to go.
Would you say that, it's quite an open question, but in the last 10 years, this is probably one of Jim's biggest team selections that he's got to make concern, given the run that we're in, the unrest that's now appearing on social media. Do you think it's potentially one of his biggest selections?
I think so. I know he was there when we got relegated a few years back, but I think this is slightly different. I think the expectations is slightly higher, if you get what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Whereas, you know, I think that was the third season we were at in League One. At that time, then we got relegated. You know, we come off the back of the high of playing in the Petrofac Cup final the season before, then it just seemed to go downhill after that. But they stuck by with Jim at that time. We ended up getting relegated, and then after I think it was a second attempt, go back up again. So he's been here before. He knows how to go through it, I think. But I certainly think it's a big call for him in terms of getting the right result, because I think another loss, we'll certainly see a lot more folk calling for his head.
Yeah, I think if I hate to say it, but I think if we lose our next two games at home to Clyde and home to Cove, I think the balance would be tipping for, you know, people more on the side of against him, yeah. Jim here than for. You don't want to see only manager lose our job. As I said, it's a big selection for Jim on Saturday. I'm hoping we get it right. We'll only find out at 10-5 on Saturday, but Jim can only do so much. Players have got to take a granted. We've praised them for saying that they've come out and said the performances have been good enough. Now they've done their talking in the media, it's now time to go in the park and put in a performance, because, you know, we don't want to say that Jim's position's on the line, but they're certainly a key factor of this next couple of games coming up.
Yeah, I think a lot of the players need to now stand up and be counted, and I think for those of us that have been coming here regularly for the last few years, certainly some of them have been here coming in much longer than what we have, but we'll recognise that some of the players that have maybe been performing to the levels that we expect and that they expect and the manager expects, it's now time for them to step up.
Yeah, I think a lot of Jim's had a lot of time, and, you know, players will speak highly of Jim about how he treats them as individuals. So I think it's now time that faith and was repaid to Jim, and that they put in a performance on Saturday that's worthy of him being here. And, you know, no fuss about the performance, but get the 3 points.
Just get the 3 points, yeah, absolutely. It's been, what, just over 50 minutes. It sounds so depressing. But that's, I guess, I think we're summing up how most of the Peterhead fans are feeling at the moment. I know it's difficult because it is just our two opinions, and most of the time our opinions are fairly similar, but I think we've tried to gauge, you know, how the fans are feeling, and as I said, there is a split, there is an obvious split, and we need to talk about it.
I think we'd hate some affront to come on this episode and try and make everything positive and rosy. As you said, there is a split, there is unrest. But it's time for the players to stand up and be counted. Webb said some strong things in this episode, but, you know, you can't just let the players or manager hear exactly what they're wanting to hear at the time. Sometimes there needs to be that bit of criticism. They see the social media these days, opinions are on there and everybody can see them. It's now time to be standing up and counted for the next couple of weeks.
Yeah, because a lot of them were quick to jump on the fact that a lot of the pundits, a lot of the bookies had hit us as favourites to go down.
Yeah.
And they were thinking, oh, well, that's not right, that's not right. Well, it's about time that they showed them that they were wrong. And as I said, they need to stand up and make themselves count.
Yeah, I mean, I was one of the first teams once I heard that the pundits were tipping Peterhead to go down, that, you know, you sort of laughed at it after the Alloa game and thought, oh, we're not getting relegated. Mm. I still think that we've got a good squad. I really do. But these players need to show they're capable of it. We've seen it in previous games. We've seen it in previous seasons. That's why they were signed on to stay another season. But they've got to start improving and soon.
Yep, so hopefully this time next week we're a bit more positive, and we're talking about, you know, 3 points and a win. There is obviously a positive. We're in the same we are in the same room. There's no sort of technical glitches. And hopefully that's the way it's going to continue. We're not going to come back into some sort of lockdown again. But that's we're sort of clutching at straws if we're looking for positive things to say.
You can. It's been a tough episode if we're 56 minutes in, and the positive is we're in the same room.
Exactly, that's it. Well, that'll do it on that note then for this week. We hope you enjoyed it again. As always, my thanks goes to Martin for joining me. We'll be back again next week. So until then, on behalf of Martin Smith and myself, Colin Byers, thanks for listening, stay safe, and we'll see you all again very soon.